Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for a More Utopian. Is it proper to say more utopian?
Isn't like utopian
more,
is perfect.
Like more perfect.
More perfect. Right. Yeah. Well,
more utopian society here at Car Talk.
Maybe it's
Plaza.
More. Sir Thomas More Utopian Society.
Anyway, here's an idea that has been proposed to us by a listener named Eric Schaefer. We would add that he sent it by email, so he might not be proposing it. He might be stealing the idea from someone else. How would we know? Why would we care?
Why would we care? It doesn't matter. You can steal everything.
Here's
America.
Here's Eric's idea. Go ahead.
Here it is, and it knocks your socks off when you hear it. Stupid people should have to wear a sign that says, "I'm stupid." That way you wouldn't rely on them, would you? I mean, you wouldn't ask them anything. It would be like, "Excuse me, oops, never mind, I didn't see your sign." It's like before my wife and I moved from Texas to California, our house was full of boxes and there was a U-Haul truck in our driveway. My neighbor comes over and says, "Hey, moving?" No, we just pack up our stuff once or twice a week, see how many boxes it takes, and then we put it back in the house. Here's your sign. I'm stupid. A couple of months ago, I went fishing with a buddy of mine. We pulled his boat into the dock. I lifted up this big old stringer of bass, and the idiot on the dock says, "Hey, y'all catch them fish?" "No, I talked them into giving up. Here's your sign." Last time I had a flat tire, I pulled into one of those side-of-the-road gas stations. The attendant walks out, looks at my truck, looks at me, and says, "Tire go flat?" I couldn't resist. I said, "Nope. I was driving around, and the other three just swelled up. I don't know what happened. Here's your sign." I'm stupid. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Well, I would, however, have to wear one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and how would you select people? Would they have to be, like, nominated, or it's just a self-selection
thing? No, I think everyone's given a supply of signs.
And you just hang them on people.
Just like Eric. And you hand them out. And if someone hands you one, you got to wear it for at least a month.
Yeah. I mean, if someone hands you one, it obviously means you need it.
Right.
And
it might be just temporary, fleeting stupidity.
It might be, but usually it isn't, is it?
No, and no, not usually.
It usually lasts a lifetime.
Well, in your case,
in my case, it has.
Anyway, if you have any life-altering ideas that you want to share with us, or you just want to talk to us about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-2-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ben from Northwood, New Hampshire.
Ben!
Hey, have you got a car problem? Here, where's my sign? Where'd you say you're from?
Northwood, New Hampshire.
Northwood.
That sounds like it's way, way up in the Northwoods.
It's actually not that far north at all.
Oh.
It's kind of towards mid-New Hampshire, around Concord and Portsmouth.
Oh, did they give a sign to the guy who named this one?
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're ready. So
what's up, Ben, baby?
Well, it's kind of an argument that I'm having with my girlfriend.
Should never argue with your girlfriend.
I know, but I can't let this one go.
You can't, huh?
Well, it's about, I have a 1979 Rabbit diesel. Because of these cold mornings that we have in New Hampshire, I'm forced to plug my car in, so it's easier to start in the morning.
Right.
And then I start up, let the heat take about an hour to warm the car up.
So you just let the thing idle in the driveway?
Yeah.
And while you're shaving or having breakfast or whatever you do in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, because of the new wind chill factor, my girlfriend thinks that I need to start my car up earlier because she believes the car is aware of the wind chill factor. And I'm not buying this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just need your help. Please tell me that the car does not know what wind chill factor is, because that would terrify me.
Well, it depends on whether or not your car has feelings.
Yeah, VWs, they don't have feelings because they're made in Germany. Fiats, on the other hand, are very sensitive.
Very
to
emotional.
Very sensitive to wind chill factor. Fiats, Alfa Romeos, stuff like that. Any car made in Mexico, for example, would be susceptible to wind chill effects.
I see. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, those Teutonic countries like Germany and, you know, like Germany.
Sweden, too.
Well, the Swedes, I'm not so sure. I don't know about that. But Germany, no. Not to my prejudice.
They're tough.
Not to my prejudice. Well, I mean, how are we going to handle this, Ben?
Delicately. I mean, you don't want to offend your girlfriend. On the other hand, you could give her a sign.
I could give her a sign. She could give me the boot.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're right. Because wind chill is specifically, how does it feel? So that when it's 0 degrees and the wind is blowing at 40 miles an hour, it feels like it's minus 30 degrees, not the real temperature of zero.
Right. If only because the cold air can penetrate your Bronco Nagurski long underwear more readily when it's blowing at 30 miles an hour than when there's no wind.
And that does have a very minor effect on the car. And that minor effect is this. If you park the car, everything is going to cool off much faster. So you stop the engine and everything in there is hundreds of degrees. For example, just the coolant is 250 degrees or something. And within a very short time, it's going to be zero if the temperature outside is zero. And that short time is going to be shorter if the wind is blowing. But once it gets to zero, the wind can keep blowing, and it ain't going to get any colder for the car.
Wonderful.
So now the question is, are you going to tell her this and make her feel stupid?
Well, that is a...
That's always a problem, isn't it? I mean, we people who are so much smarter than everybody else, we have the problem of wanting to tell them. And when we do, we don't make any friends.
No.
Right? And so, I mean, I've learned. I mean, trust me, I've suffered this through my entire life.
Oh, he has. That's why he has to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him.
I mean, I got a brother who's just between you and me, Ben. He's a couple of sandwiches short of a whole picnic.
Oh, we have another brother? I didn't even know.
Here's your son. I don't know what to do, Ben. I mean, you can just basically kiss this girlfriend goodbye, literally, if you want to tell her this.
I might suggest that it would be helpful for a third party to introduce the correct answer to this.
Ooh.
While you even, in fact, try to support her position, and you say, oh, geez, yeah, I guess you are right. I guess wind chill doesn't really affect internal combustion engines.
But get out of my house anyway.
Right. See you, Ben.
And get out of my house. You got it, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Ben, you're absolutely right. And get out of my... Yeah, that's about it.
1-888
So many wives have done that. Oh, no, I'm lying.
882. What's the number? 882.
Yeah, good.
278-255. Something like that.
2782. Yeah, that's right.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Sonia. I'm calling from Seattle.
With an I or a Y?
With a J.
I knew that.
A J.
Sonia. Like in Sonia Henny's tutu.
Something like that.
Yeah, Sonia, what's your ethnic background?
Ethnic background? Okay, I'm part Puerto Rican, part Norwegian, and part Scottish, as far as I know.
I love it.
Puerto Rican, Norwegian, isn't that awesome? Wow!
We don't want to ask you how that happened. Somewhere there was a sailor in that group.
Where are you from, Sonia?
Seattle.
Sailor.
Never mind.
I don't want to.
Well, Seattle.
Seattle Ocean. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So what can we do?
And it's right near Norway and Puerto Rico.
Exactly.
So, Sonia, what's up?
Okay. Well, I have an 84 Saab 900 Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And recently its left axle just broke. I mean, it just started choking and then stopped. And I think its CV joint actually fell onto the ground.
Yeah,
that happened.
That happens.
By the way, before we get to your question, I have to tell you a short little story.
Does it involve a sailor?
No, it involves a Saab. One of our guys at the garage, Howie, who pretty much only works on Japanese cars or extraterrestrial vehicles, happened to be assigned to replace a water pump in fact, it was an 84 Saab 900. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at the thing, and of course, you may not realize it, but the engine in this vehicle is in backwards.
Yeah.
In other words, the front of the crankshaft that runs all of the accessories like the water pump, the air conditioner, is closest to the driver. And that the business end of the crankshaft, that is the part that ultimately goes into the transmission, is farthest from the driver. And I guess not having worked on Saabs very much, he looks at this thing and he says, they must have come up with this design during those 6 months of darkness in Sweden. And I can just see it now. They put the engine in. Nels! The engine's in backwards.
We can make it work.
We'll have to make the most of it now. Yeah, you betcha.
That is definitely a confusing car.
It is interesting.
I tried to change the air filter, and it took me, you know, probably about an hour and a half just to find it.
Yeah. No.
Well, when the engine's in backwards, then all bets are off.
Yeah, who knows what
can
happen.
The stuff could be any place.
Right. But
anyway, that's the CV joint broke. The axle fell out into the street. You'd stop dead, of course.
Right. But I had it towed to the shop, and they fixed it, and I got it back a couple days later. And I noticed a few changes.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it was a lot easier to shift. But turning the ignition on suddenly became incredibly difficult, like to where it would hurt my finger and stress the key.
Yeah.
And the headlights used to turn on and off with the ignition, but now they just stay on even if I turn them off.
You know, a week or so ago, a woman called us, and she had been to the dealership and complained about some symptom. The dealer basically told her that she was nuts and sent her away, and I got all in a tizzy saying, why do dealers do this? Why did they tell women, and it's mostly women, why do they tell them that they're crazy when something is actually happening?
Oh, they did do that.
And now I know. You're crazy, Sonia. None of this could possibly have happened.
Was the vehicle was towed?
Yeah, it was towed.
Ah.
Oh, does that have something?
Yeah. I think something got disturbed in the towing. I think you may have even something as simple as a broken motor mount, or maybe somehow or another the shift linkage got disturbed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I my vote is for a broken motor mount.
Everything that you've suggested sort of leans toward the engine and transmission somehow getting out of whack. Literally, physically out of whack.
And that's also why the lights won't go off, because you're not turning the key all the way off.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Take it back to them before you break the key off, because then it's going
to
cost
you
more
money. Oh, then you have to jump the car.
Oh, that's a pain. And you're going to have to use a lot of tact and diplomacy.
And while it's
this.
There, see if they can turn the engine around and have it face the right way. That's more of most of your problem, I think. See you, Sonia.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Frank from Duluth, Minnesota.
Hi, Frank.
Frank!
Hi, I've got an 86 Volvo 240 DL. It has about 233,000 miles on it, and it runs and drives great. It has this peculiar idling problem, though. It only happens when the car is warmed up. If the car can sit for a month, it can be 10 below zero and go out there, start it up, and it starts great. But if I take it to the grocery store and the car's warmed up, I shut it off, I go in for 5 minutes, come back out, it goes kind of like blah, 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 blah for about 30 seconds. It just barely idles. And if I try giving it any gas during that time when it's doing that,
it stalls.
And just kind of blah, I mean, just wants to really die. And then, but magically, after about 30 seconds or so, it idles okay and drives just fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a cold weather phenomenon?
No, it happens pretty much summer or winter. It's...
That's a bad answer, isn't it?
Well, it's unfortunate, yeah.
It's unfortunate.
How many minutes do you have to be driving it before you shut it off and restart it and get this condition? Or does it make a difference?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Well, it...
If you drove it for an hour and stopped and then restarted it, would it do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you drive for 2 minutes and do that, it'll also do it?
Not as bad. It seems like the warmer the car is, the worse it is.
I got it.
You got it?
Oh, not the answer. This car's ruining the crossword puzzle. No, I have an idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I should add something to it. It seems to smoke a lot, like black smoke. Like
exactly.
Oh,
that's
very, very good.
My idea. Yeah. And my idea is you have leaky injectors. So that when you shut the thing off after driving for, say, an hour, and the injectors leak down and drip gas into the manifold, when you restart it, what happens is you have a very rich mixture.
Yep.
And the reason it goes...
And that's when the black smoke comes pouring out.
That's when the black smoke comes pouring out. That's when it runs peculiarly because the oxygen sensor, which is seeing this very rich stream of exhaust, is trying to lean out the mixture. And that's why you can't accelerate it because it's saying, oh, we're running way too rich. Lean out, lean out, lean out, lean out. Stop the flow of gas.
Okay.
And then after a minute or 30 seconds, as you say, it clears itself up.
Yep.
And once it clears itself up, it's fine because the dripping no longer matters because you're burning the gas as fast as you can put it in when the engine's running anyway, and the amount that's dripping is inconsequential.
So do I need to replace the injectors?
No.
I have a parts car for it.
Oh! No, if that's the case, then the answer is yes.
Sure.
And the reason I said no is that they're very expensive.
Okay.
But if you have a parts car... why did you stop driving the? What happened to the parts car? What?
Well, actually,
how did it
I got
become?
A really.
Well, how old is the parts car?
The parts car is an identical car. It's an 86 240 DL.
Oh, what could be better?
And it was supposedly a good running driving car, but it developed some severe electrical problems. So, are those injectors easy to change? Can I do that myself?
They're very easy. Yep.
Okay.
Put those injectors in, and your problems will be gone, Frank.
Excellent.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler? No, huh?
No.
No. I called it a winter tale.
Shakespearean?
No, Volkswagen. I'll have the whole story. The whole story in just a minute.
Volkswagen?
Yes.
I like it.
Rocking with that sweet.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, if I can possibly get there.
That was a very long, convoluted.
Is that all you have to say about it? Long?
Obfuscated.
Folkloric?
Interesting.
Historic?
Historic puzzler.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This way, I had a girl.
No.
I was engaged in the noble profession of pedagogy in the frozen state of Vermont. I was teaching science to 7th and 8th graders. And anyway, there I was one Saturday morning sitting in front of my TV watching some educational program. I think it was Mighty Mouse. And the phone rang, and I knew who it was. It was one of my fellow teachers who happened to live across the street. And he was calling to ask me to help him move a cast iron stove into his house. Jeez.
I'm remembering this.
He explained to me that he didn't have the stove. He was going to pick it up at the factory, and he'd be back in a few hours, and then would I help him? And I said, what about that no good brother-in-law of yours? And he said, no, he wasn't due back in town until late that night, and I guess I was it. So I said, go get the stove and call me when you get back. So I got dressed and immediately started engaging in every manner of household activity, in the hope that I'd hurt myself.
Or burn your house down.
But I tried everything, like rewiring the house, doing chimney repairs, polishing the gutters. Nothing worked. But as I waited for the dreaded call, a wonderful thing began to happen. The snow that was falling changed to freezing rain, and I said to myself, this could be good. Right now, they're loading the stove into his VW microbus at the factory. But he's never going to get up his steep driveway when he returns, and I'll be off the hook. And maybe by tomorrow, when the ice melts, that no-good brother-in-law will be back, and he won't have to call me. Mm. Sure enough, there I am, hiding behind the drapes as he pulls up, and he's slipping and sliding, even with the extra weight of the cast-iron stove in the back. He gets out and throws some sand under the wheels, but of course, that doesn't help. He gets out of the van again, slams the door, opens the engine compartment. Remember those buses had a little door in the back?
I remember it well.
He opens the engine compartment, and he does something that takes, like, a second or two. Closes the engine compartment door, and the next thing I know, he's climbed the driveway, and he's on the phone saying, "Hey, babe, come on over and help." The question is, what did he do that literally took a second that enabled him to get up the icy driveway? Now, here's the answer. Believe it or not, his Volkswagen bus...
Yeah, believe was, that's believe it or not.
Was
right.
transmitting too much torque. It's hard to believe to the wheels to enable him to negotiate this steep icy grade.
It's like if you're trying to walk on ice,
you can't run.
You can't. I mean, if you tried to run on the ice, you'd be on your butt in 2 seconds. Whereas if you walk very, very slowly,
but he couldn't transmit a small enough amount of power to the wheels to. Stop from losing his
walk.
Grip. To walk.
That's right.
So what he did is he opened the back and he pulled the coil wire off so the engine wouldn't start. He got back in, and with the thing in first gear, he turned the key. And all that worked now was the electric motor that would ordinarily start the engine, but he was using the electric motor to take him up the driveway in first gear, albeit slowly. But not slowly enough. And he crept up the driveway with just enough torque to get him up without slipping, and there he was at the top.
The equivalent of walking gingerly on the ice so you don't fall on your butt, as opposed to trying to run on the ice where you would fall.
Now, alternatively, he could have pulled a spark plug wire or two or three and made the engine run, for example, on two cylinders. But
maybe he knew that it was already running on two cylinders.
That's exactly why.
He said, "Well, I guess two's too many."
Anyway.
How about none?
Now that that's over with, who's our winner this week?
The winner this week is Barry Fisher and his students at Eisenhower Middle School in Rockford, Illinois. No kidding. Barry Fisher and in his entire class, Barry probably figured that by putting and students in parentheses in his email, we would feel obligated to send him like 25 Car Talk prizes.
Of course.
Well, dream on, Barry. We are sending you 25 $1 gift certificates instead of the usual one $25 gift certificate. Good luck.
Well, you can pull them together and, you know, make $125, or each of the kids can go visit the Shameless Commerce Division and
sure.
buy something of their choosing.
Exactly.
And spend,
for a dollar.
And spend some of their parents' money at the same time.
What
anyway.
Get for a dollar. Nada.
Not an art. Not, no. Not with us. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Deborah Bunkley from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Deborah.
I have a 1982 Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
Wow, an oldie.
Yes, and I got it a good deal on it, and it's paid for. And I just put a clutch on it and an exhaust system on it, but every time I drive down the road, it doesn't matter if I'm doing 25 miles an hour or 75 on the highway, it starts shaking.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's been doing this ever since you had the clutch done?
Yes.
Well, you may be a victim of FOL.
Yeah.
Which is fell off lift.
Oh.
Yeah. My brother has been the perpetrator of this himself. How do you explain when the customer shows up at 5 o'clock and says,
"You don't let them show up, you call them.
Is my car ready?"
It's only
you, during the day, have made everyone's allowed a little mistake here and there during the day. My brother made the little mistake of dropping a car off the lift. The car goes up, and it comes down the hard way.
It went down a lot faster than it went up, but it was only one.
It was only one.
And you know what happened afterwards? I got giddy. I began to laugh uncontrollably at my good fortune for not having been under the car.
Oh, yeah.
When it decided. And that was the car that decided it.
Oh, the car. You had nothing to do with it.
Oh, I had everything to do with it. But the car decided to slide off one of those pads, push the arm out,
yeah.
tilt to the right front.
Yeah, all in slow motion.
All in slow motion for the first 90% of it.
And then,
in a blink of an eye, it came crashing down on its side.
Ooh!
And I didn't wait for the customer to come in.
No.
I called him.
You called
him. I said, you're never going to believe
this. You
said
I got a little bad news?
Well, anyway.
In any event.
I'm gonna let you in on a little trade secret.
No, she didn't have any FOL.
No, I don't think. No, I don't think so. I was just making,
don't worry,
I was having
Deborah.
Fun.
He was making that up.
And well, not the part about my dropping a car off the lift. I really did do that.
Oh.
And I wanted to see how long it took. But anyway, if you go back to them and ask them to check it, I mean, it's unlikely they did anything wrong when they did the clutch, although they could have left the drive shaft loose.
Oh.
Or they could have, it's possible they could have dropped some of the needles out of it, because they have to take the drive shaft out to do the clutch. So they could have left the drive shaft loose, they could have damaged the drive shaft somehow, and that would explain why the vibration is there all the time. Is the vibration in the steering wheel, or you feel the whole car shaking?
The whole car shaking.
Yeah. That's it's classic drive shaft shimmy.
It's the drive shaft.
Oh.
And they may have done something wrong to it, or they may have forgotten to tighten the U-joints up, or who knows what they did.
Yeah.
But I would go back soon.
Okay.
But if this is what, how long ago did you have the clutch done?
Like a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago.
Is it getting worse, the shimmying?
Yes.
It's getting worse. In which case, I would be really, really careful about driving it.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's possible for the drive shaft to fall out as you're driving. That could be
mm-hmm.
catastrophic.
Oh.
Because, I mean, if the drive shaft falls out, I'll just give you the worst case scenario.
You ever watch the Olympics?
Yes.
You ever watch the pole vault?
Yes.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
The drive shaft runs in this car from the front to the back.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's connected at each end. Worst case scenario, it disconnects from the front end. So now you're traveling at 70 miles an hour, and you got this pole that digs itself into the ground.
Oh, my God.
The car flips up over the drive shaft, spins around 7 or 8 times, does a Mitzi Gaynor, and you're inside and you're gonzo. And it might still, even at 15 miles an hour, fall out.
But so, if it does happen, let us know if the East German judge gave you a good,
gave you good ratings.
They don't have an East German judge anymore. They always used to be tough, those East German judges.
Yeah.
Would I be alive to talk to him?
No, probably
you
not.
You probably wouldn't.
Okay.
Good luck,
Thanks
Deborah.
For scaring me to death.
Yes. Yeah. Well, quite.
That's what we're here for.
Oh, okay.
Drive Thank slowly. You.
Everyone at NPR has the same feeling.
See you later.
All right, bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Steve. I called last week about the diesel escort.
Steve, about the
diesel escort. What was the question?
You couldn't find the battery.
You couldn't find the battery.
Well, I found it.
Great.
I bet you did.
And it was in your neighbor's living room, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, where I found it was pretty rusted out, so I'm surprised it was still there.
Oh, it was hanging out the bottom of the car.
Close.
It's supposed to be in the trunk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the trunk rusted out, and it's dragging on the ground.
Well, it's about there, yep. So it's a good thing I found it when I did.
You know, sometimes you just can't discount luck. Because if they hadn't gone dead, you would never have thought about where it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And how did you find it? Did you trace the wires back?
Yeah, I did a little bit of that, and I mean, I couldn't believe it because, you know, last week I said it wasn't in the trunk, and I had looked, and it was ended up someplace where I thought I had already looked, so I felt pretty dumb when I found it.
Well, yeah, no, it's always the way when you find something that you didn't find the first time.
Yeah.
Ask my brother about the time he was looking for olives, and his wife found 7 cans of them in the very cupboard he had just finished looking in. So you always feel bad when someone else makes you look like a fool, even especially if it's yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, we're happy for you. We can breathe a collective sigh of relief. I mean, all of America was holding its breath,
yeah,
wondering if you were going to find your battery, and you did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, thanks for calling us back. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you
very
much.
See you, Steve. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Daniel on Long Island.
Hey, how you doing?
Daniel, what's going on?
Well, I've got a 2000 Volvo Cross Country.
Okay.
And when the heat comes on, the car fills with what I can only describe as a barfy aroma.
Barfy aroma.
Yeah. I mean, it smells like somebody threw up in the car.
And this has been going on how long?
about 10 days?
Norwalk virus.
I think so. It's making its way to Long Island.
A severe case of Norwalk virus.
You think, huh?
Well, the car had it. Yeah, it
happens. Cars get it. Dogs get it.
Yeah, in humans it lasts about 2 days, but in cars, 2 weeks. So I would figure about 4 days the car will be all better.
This just started, huh?
Yeah, it just started.
No, I think what you're smelling is mold.
Yeah, but where does it come from?
It's coming from the heating system.
All of a sudden?
Why wasn't I smelling it when the air conditioning was on?
Isn't that a good question?
When was that? That
Six
was like
months
a, that
ago.
Was a distant memory when the air conditioner was on. No, I mean, mold spores are an interesting phenomenon.
Oh, here we go.
No,
my brother's medical and scientific knowledge about mold
you don't
spores.
You're not aware of them until they reach a critical mass.
Oh,
and you,
bogus.
No. It depends on how sensitive your nose is. Obviously, there are some people who can detect one mold spore per 100 million.
Oh, so there's a critical mass of mold
spores.
Well,
you know, I mean, I was willing to ignore this problem, but I had my daughters with me a couple of days ago, and the heat came on. And
it was, oh, my God, what's that?
The 8-year-old says, smells like barf.
But does it smell like barf to you, or does it smell more like mold and mildew?
No, it smells like barf.
Oh, I got it. Where do you park?
In front of the house.
You live sort of in the woodsy parts of Long Island?
I know what it is now.
No, but, you know, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Just before this happened, I was refilling the washer fluid.
Yeah.
And I took the opportunity to clean out all the leaves and twigs and everything that collects under the windshield.
Yeah, including the mouse nests.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you have a dead mouse.
You think so?
Yeah,
that would make sense.
I smell dead mice. I know what they smell like. It's not that.
Well, maybe it's a dead shrew. Maybe they smell different. I don't know, but it's a dead something or other.
You think there's a dead something in the duct someplace?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty offensive smell.
Yeah. I mean, do I just wait until it dries up or get somebody to clean
well,
it out?
Well, here's the problem.
It's going to take a long time.
What's happening is that every night the mouse is getting flash frozen. All right? It's like a turkey dinner that's in the freezer.
So it's going to last forever.
It's going to last because then what happens is every day you turn the car and the heater on, you defrost it a little bit.
And it stinks like hell.
And then it goes back in the freezer. So this could last for months.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
This is it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Is it involved getting a cat?
No. You get a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
You drive home.
Yeah. I leave it running all night.
Leave it running. You got it. You leave it running all night with the heater on, with all the windows down. You get out in the morning, everything will be fine.
No.
With the heat on and all the windows down so that the guy can drive through and drive off my car.
Hey, if it happens, it happens. No, I mean, the only remedy really is to take the ductwork apart. I mean, God knows where this guy got into.
That doesn't sound like I'm loving it.
No,
it's expensive.
I wouldn't like it either.
It's expensive. Now, this car does have an under-the-hood air filter for the heating system. And you may be lucky. You may be able to take this filter out. You may be able to fish around
see
in there
something.
Or get in there with the vacuum cleaner hose.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would be very nice.
I mean, alternatively, you can try spraying stuff in there to, you know, mask or camouflage the smell.
Yeah.
But if it's a dead mouse, it's going to be tough because no matter what you put in there, it'll always be there. And it takes a long time. I mean, mice a little, but they take a long time to evaporate.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's undoubtedly what it is.
Those critters find the most interesting things to do.
They do, and mice can squeeze into anything. So there's no way to keep them out. If they decide to reside in your ventilation system, they're going to get in there. And if the guy died, he died.
Okay.
Good luck, Dan.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, I think it's time for us to pause and take a little break.
Is this where the NPR massage therapist comes in, gives us a healing shiatsu neck rub? Is that it?
No, this is where Berman comes in, empties half a can of Glade, and hightails it back into the control room.
Well, that'll be good, too. We'll be back with a brand new Puzzler in just a minute.
Go back to your Pontiac. But if you go, I won't take you back. You had your chance to prove you were true, but your broken down car means more to you.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I just want to interject here.
Yes.
The Puzzlers over the past few weeks have been quite good.
Oh.
I think you're in line for a real bull.
Oh, in that case, I'll just use this one. All right. I'm encouraged now.
I mean, I think the dimly lit Quonset hut.
Oh, I mean, That was poetic.
Bought you a real loser.
All right. Well, this is from a guy named Melvin Anderson, and I'm going to read it just the way he sent it because.
Okay, Melvin.
And you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He writes about himself in the third person.
Yeah.
Melvin had been briefing the boss at a staff meeting since he arrived at the office. Too busy, in fact, for even a cup of coffee. Worse than that, he'd skipped breakfast that morning because he got up late, got dressed in a hurry, and sped off to the office in his 65 Mustang convertible. The top was up, of course, because it was cold. It's January. No wonder he'd felt hunger pangs since he got to work. When he finally finished his busy meeting, he glanced at his brand new digital wristwatch, which he got for Christmas. Yikes! No wonder I'm hungry. It's 12:01. Lunchtime. Melvin hurriedly donned his coat, hat, and gloves and raced out the rear entrance of the building, heading for the lunch counter across the street. He darted between traffic lanes and parked cars and almost fell into the doorway of the lunch counter. The door was locked. A sign hung inside the door. Closed. We open at 11 a.m.
Oh.
Huh? He rechecked his watch, which was working just fine, and realized why the lunch counter was closed. What did Melvin discover? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on a pair of CCM 852 Custom Fit Tax Senior Ice Hockey Skates with Kevlar reinforced nylon construction, heel stabilizing wedge, PVC lace bite protector, and ProLite 3 blade holder. Men's size 10.5, and send them to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com.
Should I explain the skate thing?
Well, you're really hoping to get a pair?
Well, I really am, because here's what happened.
We never get anything else.
I haven't been skating for a couple of years. And the other day, Louis Cronin and I went skating. And immediately, Louis sees my skates and laughs and says, "What the heck is this?" Well, it so happens I have been skating low these many years on the skates that my dear Uncle Ray gave to me. He got them when he was 15 years old. He died about 10 or 12 years ago at age 80 or some such thing. So these skates are 100 years old.
He inherited them.
I don't know where he got them, but
Hans Brinker.
He got them from Hans Brinker, whoever that is. So he gives me these skates, I think, 50 or 60 years ago. I don't know. I mean, forever ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
And I've been using these skates all these years. Now, the worst thing about it is these skates don't fit me. So I've been skating on skates that don't fit me for 50 years. And Louis laughs at me. We go out skating on the Frog Pond at Boston Common here in Boston, and everyone in the place is looking at my feet and laughing. And that's why we need a pair of CCM 852 custom fit. I mean, how long can this go on?
I know. How long can you take it, man?
Unbelievable. And here's the thing. I used to play hockey, so I've skated with these things all the time.
That explains a lot.
And get this. Since they didn't fit me, I would have to wear 3 pairs of socks, and still they would be slopping around. So I had to put a sponge. You know the kind you wash dishes with?
Yeah.
I had to put a sponge inside the skate before I laced it up so that they would fit me. Now, I've been going through this misery long enough.
For $29, you're going to cut
Well, better yet if I can.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope it works. I hope it pans out for you, man. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Conrad calling from Barre, Massachusetts.
Hi, Conrad. What's up?
So I've got it's a red 86 Honda Civic. It's been sitting out in the wintry, cold weather for about 3 months. I went to drive it the other day, and the emergency brake was frozen.
Yep.
Onto the car. So my question is, what am I supposed to do to get it free?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, you can wait for the spring thaw.
Okay. I need to drive it, though.
No, even that's not going to do it. You know what happens is the shoes, the brake shoes, you know, when you pull on the emergency brake handle,
yeah.
This 86 Civic has brake shoes in the rear, which is the only brakes that the emergency brake acts on is the rear brakes.
Yeah.
And those shoes get pushed out by the tension on this cable that you've tugged on against the drums.
Okay.
And they have rusted in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you tried to move it at all?
I've got underneath it with a hammer and tried to bust it up.
Yeah?
That didn't work so well.
What were you hitting, like the gas tank?
Well,
I tried hitting the brake shoes with a hammer.
Oh, you did? Did you see the cables while you were under there?
I didn't. No, I didn't have the brain to look for those.
Ah. Well, you want to crawl under there again and find the cables.
Yeah.
They're going...
And shake them.
Yeah. Grab onto it and just yank it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to suggest that that's not going to fix it.
I agree. It's probably not.
Because the shoes have, in a sense, welded themselves to the drums.
Yeah.
We've had some warm days, and if it were the cables that were frozen, they would have thawed out by now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rust.
It's rust.
Mm. Yeah. What were you doing with this car that it could sit for all these months without being driven? I mean, well, what weren't you doing with it?
I was trying to avoid saying that, but I work at a meditation center out here in Barre.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can sit for meditation for 3 months, so you leave your car out in the park for 3 months during the winter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you get, man, for Nirvana. That's always the price you pay.
there's always a price to pay.
Yeah, it's true.
Here's what I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest the same thing.
Well, how far are you from the closest gas station?
About 3 miles.
3 miles. Well, you do have a front-wheel drive car, and the worst-case scenario, you could just drag the rear wheels there.
Or raise them up off the ground.
Right,
roller
right,
skates.
Right.
Roller skates are a floor jack.
Here's what you should try to do. You should try to rock the car back and forth as best you can. In other words, let the clutch out. Try to go forward. It won't. Throw it in reverse. Try to go backwards, and hopefully you will free them up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can't,
you can't go down to that. Walk down to that gas station
and
borrow their oxyacetylene torch.
Now have them just tow it over, and they're gonna have a devil of a time getting the drums off too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna tell you that the next time you park it for the winter, do not set the handbrake.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if nothing works, you won't care. I mean, what's brakes compared to Nirvana?
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Diddly squat, as we say.
See you, Conrad.
Yeah,
good luck, man.
Bye-bye. 188.
I wonder if he met Omian Aspiavados while he was in his trance-like state.
Everyone meets Omian Aspiavados.
Sooner or later.
Exactly. For those of you who don't know, that's Tommy's alter ego.
Yeah.
His imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Omian.
I think. I don't really know.
I had an imaginary friend called Fred.
Might be the same guy.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Because if you reach Nirvana, you got to have a name. You can't be Fred. Hi, I'm the Dalai Fred.
Well, I always thought that was unusual.
Dalai Lama Fred. No, you got to be Omian Aspiavados.
You have to have a mysterious name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why Fred and I parted ways. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leah from Seattle.
Who?
Leah. Do you remember me?
Leah!
Yeah, I call basketball from Mount Holyoke.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
If for those who don't remember, Leah sent us a letter. It's many months ago now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
And in the letter, she told us how miserable and unhappy she was.
Despondent, I think, would be the right word.
Suicidal, almost.
I would not go quite that far.
Where were you going to school?
Mount Holyoke.
One of those wacko Nazi schools of the western part of this state here, Mount Holyoke. And you were miserable. It was such a heart-rending letter, which we read on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of response was tremendous. Everybody wanted
mostly from 20-year-old guys. But it was
who are asking for your address
and a picture.
Quite a few characters that wrote. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, you got some great mail.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. And
then we lost touch with you because you disappeared from Mount Holyoke.
The last thing we heard actually was that that Leah had left Mount Holyoke and had moved back to Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and you sent us a note, I believe, to that effect, saying how much happier you were.
Yes, definitely. I transferred to the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And I really like it out here. I'm so glad you're back where there are mountains and the sea and all that stuff. And,
well, we don't have that in our fair state?
We already went over this before. It's not the same back there.
No.
Well, the sea's on your right instead of your left here, but other than that,
I mean, all you got to do is turn around, and you don't even know what coast you're on.
Okay.
All right.
But it's great out here, and I'm really glad. Well, I learned a lot from being back there, and I'm glad that I spent the 4 months there that I did, but it's really good to be back on the West Coast again.
Besides the mountains and the sea.
Yes.
What was the thing that made you go home the most? I mean, what was it?
I guess I'd have to say the West Coast mentality, and I don't want to stereotype all East Coasters. But
go ahead. We're ready. We can take constructive criticism.
Leah, we have alienated just about everybody in the country.
All right.
So just jump right in.
What is it about the East Coast mentality that rubbed you the wrong way?
I mean, are we just all morons or what?
No, you're not all morons. It's just that everything is really steeped in tradition. And everything is kind of one way, and that's the way things have been for hundreds of years, and that's the way things are going to stay. Whereas on the West Coast, there's more of this adventurous atmosphere, and people seem to be more laid back and open to change and open to new experiences.
So you got a problem with that, you little West Coast twerp?
Yeah, I do.
You know, interestingly, I happen to have right on the table here,
uh-huh.
and so help me, I had no idea that you would be on the phone today. And I was looking through my mail,
mm-hmm.
and I get a letter here, which is from Ivan Brown and Nan Frey.
Fry. Yes.
What it says is, thank you all for your thoughtful response to our daughter Leah's letter last week. What a positive experience for a young adult, and I'm thankful for the insightful messages she received. We are amazed that she chose the Tappert Brothers to reach out to, but considering your response, she chose wisely. It's even more amazing that we totally agreed with your advice. And then it goes on to say what miserable...
Did you read the P.S. at the bottom? If she moves back to Washington, we're suing you?
This is from your parents. And it goes on to explain how they had been to Boston several times and hated everything and everyone.
No, that can't be right, because I know my mom's never been to Boston.
It says, I have been...
Okay, my dad's been to
your
Boston.
Your dad, then.
Yeah.
I have previously maintained a low opinion of your area based on several bad experiences with the road rage displayed on the local highways and the surly bartenders. And he says, I've changed my mind since now I met you guys. What?
My dad's going to die when he hears this.
Well,
wow.
Well, Leah, it's a pleasure to hear from you and to know that you're well, even though you have escaped to the wild, wild west with all those new age nutcases out there. But that's all right. If it makes you happy to be there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm very happy. And the only problem is I wasn't able to pull off any B's for you guys.
That was our next question.
No B's?
No B's.
All
I'm
A's?
Sorry. It had to be a 4-point.
Just tell me, I mean, how much effort does it take to get these A's?
A lot. A lot.
Why are you doing that?
Well, actually, I'm glad. Okay, I worked really, really, really hard while I was back there, and I got the 4-point, and I was really proud of the work I produced, too, which was really important to me. I mean, I was writing some really great pieces.
Yeah, headed right for the anal retentive world.
But
you are, Leah. Trust me on this.
No, hold on. I'm not done yet.
Yeah,
I'm not done
okay.
yet. Now that I'm back here, I've kind of gained the perspective that I was searching for back there, and I am more relaxed, even though I'm still doing well in school. the grade isn't as important to me.
You can never be truly relaxed, my child, until you get an F.
Yeah, it gives you. It's like having that first fender bender on your brand new car.
It is so liberating.
It's liberating. It
but
changes your whole life.
Right now, if I do get a B, I'm not going to die. So that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Not that I would have before, but it won't be as big of a deal to me.
But one of my dear friends, Antoine, who went to college with me, vacillated between getting all A's on his grade report or all F's. There was no middle ground for him.
Yeah.
And he said he never felt so liberated as that first semester that he opened his grade report and it was F, F, yeah. F.
Coincidentally, that was the semester he met you.
Just before that, yeah, it was.
Yes.
Oh, well. And I feel responsible for making him a real human being. And he appreciated those A's a lot more after he got all those F's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me, throw one F in there. It'll look like an A. No one will even notice.
Just draw a little line down the other side.
That's it.
Hey, Leah, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a million.
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys, too.
And
keep,
I wish
keep
you the
in touch.
Best.
I will, definitely.
See you, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Huh. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Brooklyn Heights, Bagel Bites, Matzo by Strites, Diet Sprites, Turkish Delights, and Mega Vites, Ladies Nights Food Fights, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our day-old seafood chef is Amelia Luce. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the tenure-tracked construction workers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Amen. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 910, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK. Or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a brand new advice section about how to sell your car yourself.
That's easy. Wear a mask.
Actually, there's plenty of useful information here to help you decide whether to sell the car yourself, how to prepare it for sale, how to price it.
And does it have a list of mask manufacturers?
Yeah, it has that too. Check out the brand new section on how to sell your car all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mothers-to-be feel a wave of nausea coming on whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.